In the early days of America, the church played a more dominant role in our society. Today, there's been largely a breakdown of the influence of the church as well. And perhaps even more poignant on this is the breakdown of the family. And one of the results of all this is the rise of loneliness. Pastor Keith Spurgeon has written a book on loneliness and anxiety, and the book is called Unknown. Publicist Greg Wooding describes the book this way, quote, drawing from Scripture and his own hidden struggle, he shows why loving one another isn't optional. It's the clearest evidence of following Jesus, end quote. The subtitle of Pastor Spurgeon's book is Finding Connection in a Disconnected World. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Pastor Keith Spurgeon to the program. Keith, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. It's an honor to be here.
Sure. Okay, so go ahead and tell us about your own story and why did you decide to write this book? Just take your time, sir.
Yeah, I started my first organization, which happened to be a church, in when I was 34. It took off. It was growing really fast. Things were going really well. Had people from around the world calling me, asking for advice and how do I build teams and get momentum and all these things. And I was like, inside of my head, I was like, I made it. I'm doing it. This is incredible. And I don't know, 3 or 4 years in, my wife just wasn't doing well. And we had started it together and we were in it together. And all of a sudden, I could just feel her pulling away. And I think the crucible moment was when she said, I feel like you have a mistress. And I was devastated. She didn't mean it literally. She meant she felt like that all the other things had become so important and she had become far less important. And it just really rocked my world because if anybody would have asked me who's the most important human in your life, I would have said, my wife, Susan, is, of course. But she didn't feel that way. And as a result, I didn't feel that way. And I just felt I just felt alone in everything I was doing. And alone, unknown, lost, confused. And it was like everything had lost its luster, you know. So
well, wait,
that was really the...
So, but while this was all going on, and meanwhile, lots of people were flocking to the church, and your ministry seemed to have great success.
Yes.
But inside you were lonely?
Yeah, it was ironic because I was trying to create, you know, connection for other people with God and others, and yet I was feeling alone and lost and... Yeah, just unsure of everything.
Okay, and then what happened?
Well, fortunately, we had some really good mentors in our lives, and they really encouraged us to go on a sabbatical. We took some space and some time, took about 3 months away, and just reconnected our relationship. It took several years to get to where we needed to, real healthy place, but over those 3 months, it just reestablished us, and I was worried, you know, what's going to happen to my marriage, you know, and I wasn't sure what was going on. One of my best friends at the time had walked away. So it was a really, really dark time.
When you say walked away, do you mean walked away from his marriage, walked away from his faith, or both, or other things too?
He walked away. He was a key part of everything we were doing at the church and really close to me and just decided I'm done. And walked away from us and decided, the way I always say it is all of a sudden I was the devil and tried to reconcile and we couldn't, you know, he just was done.
Would you say that there was burnout as a factor, both in your case and also his case?
I would say there were some unhealed, wounded places for him from a childhood that were major things for him. And for me, there was some burnout. There was some, like I said, confusion, you know, it's like, how did this even happen? How did I even get here? And that was a lonely time for sure.
Okay. I have read that sometimes I've seen studies that imply that loneliness can be as dangerous for you. I don't want to say as smoking, but maybe even as smoking or, you know, an excessive problem of gluttony or whatever. In other words, loneliness can be bad for you physically, can even lead to an early grave, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Tell us about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I did some research for this book and found out that, you know, over 50% of Americans feel lonely on a regular basis. And the health results of that are it causes heart disease. You have like a 35% chance of dying earlier when you're less connected relationally than you want to be, than we're made to be. There's all kinds of physical issues that result from disconnection and loneliness. And that's hugely unfortunate because we're living in a culture that is extremely disconnected and isolated. So it's a real concern.
How can the church help? How can the church hurt? Just go ahead and wax eloquent on that.
Well, you know, I think going back to what was really important to Jesus would be really helpful. You know, in John 13, he says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. That's the demarcation that Jesus gave us of what it looks like to follow him. And I think if we were focused a lot more on connection and helping people build healthy relationships and building really healthy relationships ourselves, you know, as a leader in the church, back when that story I was just telling you about, part of what was so confusing is like, I knew this stuff. I knew connection was important. I knew love was the center. And so I'm like, how can I even be a leader if I'm not even doing that in my own home? And that really, you know, rocked me and caused me to reevaluate everything. And I think as leaders, a lot of times, we're leading stuff and we're building things and we're doing this and everything on the outside looks great. But man, if our most important relationships in our lives are not healthy, not perfect, but healthy, we're kind of missing the point of what it means to be a leader in the kingdom of God. So I think it starts in our homes and it starts in our families and it starts with the most important relationships in our lives.
All right. So having learned what you have since learned, if you, I mean, this is so hypothetical, but if you could go back in time and speak to the younger Keith Spurgeon, who's, you know, by all outward appearances, thriving in a vibrant ministry, what would you say? Hey, buddy, you need to learn a few things here, and let me tell you.
Yeah. Number one, find out what really speaks love and connection to your wife, and then do that. Because I thought I was showing love. I thought I was expressing love in a way that she would really get it, and I wasn't. You know, for her, you know, quality time, that's what speaks love to her, what she calls eyeball time. So for me, we have a great conversation in the car with the kids in the back and interacting and the phone's ringing and all these things are happening. I'm thinking this is a great connection. It really wasn't for her. She was just getting fitted in between everything else. And so, yeah, just really, I always tell people who are married, I say, you need to become a student of your spouse. You need to understand your spouse better than anybody else in the world and figure out what makes them tick and then do those things that help them feel loved and cared for. And that's the biggest thing I would have changed about that young Keith Spurgeon for sure.
Okay. What else did you learn as you set out to write this book about loneliness? And why do you, would you say that the church has a loneliness epidemic? The church? In our
yeah. Day. Yeah, I think, you know, as human beings, we are more technologically connected than we've ever been in the history of the world, and yet we're more relationally disconnected than we've ever been in the history of the world. I mean, since the beginning of time, humans have cloistered together for connection, for survival, for community, and yet in our cultures today, there's so much disconnect and so much isolation. And that's true oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes in church settings as well. People come on a Sunday morning, they have a great experience, and then they go home. And it's like, okay, how does that connect to how my life actually functions? And I think we've gone into the information business, and people learn a lot of information. There's more information out there than there's ever been. And the same thing is true for the church. You know, you can get great teaching. You can hear from the greatest people. You can get online and hear from the best preachers in the world. That's all information, but information doesn't necessarily bring transformation. It's in the rough and tumble of life in community that where we're really connected with other people and we're having to work on real issues in our lives. That's where real transformation happens. And that only happens in relationship.
And where do friends and developing friendships, where does all that fit into this?
That is exactly what I'm talking about. We so many people today, they don't even know their neighbors. You know, we come home, we close the garage door and go inside and never see anybody the rest of the evening. And on the weekends, the same thing, and order our food, don't have to talk to anybody. And we've lost the art of connecting with people. And it's not just connecting on a surface level, but learning how to go to deep places and disagree about things. There's so much division in our country right now, and as a result in our churches too, where you can't even disagree politically without people canceling you. And I talk to pastors all the time who are struggling because they have people on one side of the aisle in their church and then people on the other side of the aisle. And no matter what they say, it's not enough or it's too much. And you can't ever get it right because people are being discipled by their algorithms on YouTube or whatever else they're looking at, or Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever it is, as opposed to being discipled in real relationship with real people where you have to disagree and figure out how to work it out. And we've lost the ability to do that.
Can you do me a favor? Can you explain, what do you mean by algorithms, and how does that impact social media? How does that impact our relationships with other people?
Yeah, so people are on social media, including YouTube, hours and hours and hours a week. The algorithms, I'm not technical and smart enough to tell you exactly how algorithms work, but I do know this about it. The algorithms are designed to feed you what you want to hear. So if you have a certain, let's say you lean conservative, they're going to feed you this conservative perspective. If you have a left-leaning, they're going to feed you a left-leaning liberal perspective to keep you engaged, because the more engaged you are, the more money they make by selling advertising. So people are watching this stuff on all these social platforms, and the algorithm is feeding them a certain message. Whatever message it is that they like is going to feed them that same message over and over and over again. Then somebody comes to church on a Sunday morning. That pastor has 30 minutes to speak the word of God and the truth of God's word when somebody has already been being fed by an algorithm sometimes 30, 40 hours that week. It's almost an impossible task to fight that with 30 minutes. And so it's a huge thing that's impacting our society, our culture, and our churches.
Okay. Do you have a website for the book?
Yes, sir. It's keithspurgeon.net, KEITHSPURGIN.net. And you can find the book there and some blogs from me, and connect with me if you'd like to. I'd love to do that.
All right. The name of the book is Finding a Connection in a Disconnected World. That's the subtitle. And the book itself is called Unknown. Keith Spurgeon, thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.